Welcome to Falling in Love with God's Word, the podcast devoted to helping you read the Bible joyfully, study it deeply, live it passionately, and share it powerfully. Because the living Word of God is a reality, not a phrase. Well, hello, my friend, and welcome to episode 6 of the Falling in Love with God's Word podcast. I am Keith Farron, and I am thrilled to be here today. Before diving in, I just wanted to stop and thank you for your response to the first 5 episodes. The emails that you've sent, a couple of you have posted messages on Facebook and sent me things through Twitter, and I just wanted to thank you for your encouragement. I'm glad this has been helpful, and I pray that each episode will be. So for those of you that have sent me an email or a message on Facebook or whatever, I just want to thank you. It really, really is encouraging. I had no idea what to expect and have honestly been a bit blown away that the first 5 episodes that have come out have already been downloaded. We just 2 days ago crossed the 1,000 downloads mark. So I am blown away, quite honestly. So thank you very much for that. And to let you know, as you're listening to these, as I'm, you know, giving you tips and recommendations and resources and all that, you may be somebody who really enjoys taking notes while you listen. But if not, if you just want to listen or you're driving in your car, please don't take notes. But wanted to let you know that each episode has corresponding show notes, if you will, on the blog. So you can find the full list at keithfarron.com/Bible podcast, or for each individual episode, any links, any content, it's all there for you there. So keithfarron.com/006 is where you'll find this week's episode. And speaking of this week's episode, to give you an overview of what we're going to cover, we're going to start out with a new feature that I haven't done in the first 5 episodes, and that is just a resource of the week. I come across different websites, different people, different books, different tools or Bibles or something that may not warrant an entire episode or an entire blog post or something, but something I want you to be aware of. And so I'm going to introduce that, the resource of the week. And then we're going to dive into our main topic this week, which is the third in a series of 10 covering the 10 tips that I go over in my most recent book, 10 Tips for Liking the Bible, because believing it's true is not enough. So the first one we did was looking at relational versus informational Bible study. The second, which was just this last episode, was the importance of expectations. And tip 3 is all about solving one of the most common problems I hear about when talking to people about reading the Bible. And that is, what do we do when our mind starts to wander? So if you just groaned, this episode is for you. Anywhere I go, I hear struggles with this. So we are going to dive into one reason that this happens that you may have never thought about. I didn't think about it for 20 years of struggling with this. And then mostly we'll spend our time looking at what do we do about it and how can we address this common challenge. We will then take, if we've got some time left, we will take a listener question about translations and what translation is best for different things. And then a quick announcement and prayer request about the blog. So, got to tell you, just on a little bit of a personal note before we dive into the resource of the week, we are in the middle of birthday season here in the Farron household. My wife and all three of my kids have birthdays within 6 weeks of each other. So my oldest daughter had a birthday a week ago Monday. My youngest daughter had a birthday yesterday. And then my wife's birthday is coming up in a couple weeks. And my son's birthday is coming up a couple weeks after that. So we are in the thick of that. Plus, we are a week away from the start of school. In fact, I'm recording this early because I'm going to be traveling next week when this is released. But by the time you listen to this, or this goes live, my kids will have been in school for day one and two. So, and then we kind of decided, you know, there wasn't enough going on. So I'm currently coaching all three of my kids' soccer teams. So it should be a fun fall. In addition to the fall is always the busiest travel season for me. And that will kick off the day this release. So that's the reason I'm actually recording this really early, is because the day that this releases on Wednesday the 4th is the day that I will be flying to Denver to do the morning devotions and a workshop or two at the National CareNet Conference. So if you happen to be in the Denver area the 5th, 6th, or 7th of September, please stop by the downtown Sheraton and say hi. I would love to meet you in person. Okay, so let's dive into this new feature, the resource of the week. As I mentioned, it's just going to be something that I highlight during each episode. And this week's is a book that I know that if I read a book 6 or more months ago, and I'm still recommending it and still thinking about it, and it comes into my mind a lot, it's something that I better start recommending even more. So I don't know if you've read Love Does by Bob Goff, but if you haven't, grab it. It is one of those rare books that is encouraging, challenging, and funny all at the same time. I each page just kind of oozed with all three, and I found myself, and this rarely happens, I found myself laughing out loud as I read and being encouraged and challenged at the same time. So I had a chance actually this weekend to hear Bob speak here in the Seattle area on the east side of Seattle and some of the suburbs. Once a year, the week before school starts, a group of churches gets together and does this thing called the Jubilee Service Day. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But Jubilee Service Day, these churches all come together and have a work party all throughout the east side of Seattle, where we go into, I think there were 9 different elementary schools. We went in and helped clean up classrooms and wash desks and do bulletin boards and just prep teachers for their year, which was a very, very cool thing. Shout out to Miss Smart, who teaches art at the school that I was at, and that's the class I worked in. And, you know, having a wife who is a kindergarten teacher in a public school, I just know how much those teachers appreciate it. And it was such a cool thing because we had actually came home and our neighbor across the street was talking with my wife and said, my friend is a school teacher and these people just came into her classroom and started setting things up and met her there and just helped her so much. And she was just over the moon. And my wife was able to say, yeah, that's Jubilee Service Day. It was just such a cool thing. And it was just so neat to just see that played out and hear people talking about it who didn't even know that we were participating. But that's on Saturday. And then all those churches come together in Bellevue Park downtown and have a big worship service with several thousand people. And this year, the speaker was Bob Goff talking about Love Does. And so just a beautiful, gorgeous day. Maybe I'll put a picture that I took with my phone in the show notes so you can see kind of what the environment was, but it was just a very cool thing. But if you are looking for a book that will encourage you, challenge you, make you laugh, grab Love Does by Bob Goff, and you will not be disappointed. So that's the resource of the week. Now, jumping into our main topic today, how do you struggle with your mind wandering when you read the Bible? And does even me asking that question cause you to just kind of shake your head or heavy sigh or roll your eyes? I've asked that question literally hundreds of times to thousands of people, and that result is always the same. Just the rolling eye, the heavy sigh, I struggle with that. It's just a universal problem and something that honestly I struggled with for years. And it's something that, you know, for the first 20 years I was a Christian. So it was even, you know, well into when I started internalizing books of the Bible and I started presenting the Gospel of John. So I knew how awesome the Bible was, how wonderful it was, how cool the stories were, and was still struggling and was just thinking, why am I struggling with this? You know, I can sit down and read a novel for 2 hours and not have my mind wander. And then I pick up the Bible and I get 2 pages in, or sometimes 2 paragraphs in, and my mind is just off somewhere. And this all came to a head, you know, many years ago, several years ago, when I was, you know, had a particularly horrible quiet time, you know, one of those where you're just a paragraph, 2 paragraphs is a struggle without your mind going off. And that was my day. And I just tried to, you know, start over and force myself. I'm going to focus. Oh, what's that out the window? And I finally gave up and shut my Bible and was just having one of those one-sided conversations with God. You know, why is this happening? And what's wrong with me? And why can't I focus? And at one point, you know, I think that, you know, I must have stopped to inhale or something because God, you know, said, I'd like to talk now. And he gave me this picture in my head that has forever helped me with this. And here it was. I was a running back on a football team in this vision, which, you know, should be a clear indication this was a dream. And as I came out of the huddle, my number had been called. I knew that I was getting the ball. And I had done everything I was supposed to do. I had studied the playbook. I had been at practice. I had been in the weight room. I knew exactly which way the quarterback was going to turn, what side I was going to go to, where the hole was going to be, what blockers I should follow, and all that. And so, sure enough, off I go down the field. And I get 3 yards down. I get 6 yards down. I get 10 yards down, 15 yards down. And then, bam, you know, I'm laid out on my back. And I'm laying there and I'm mumbling to myself, so I'm not in the end zone. Why am I not in the end zone? I'd really like to be in the end zone. Why am I not in the end zone? And a buddy comes over and he helps me up and hears me mumbling these questions. And he says, well, hey, man, there is somebody playing defense. And at that moment, it dawned on me. And let me ask you, do you realize that every time you pick up your Bible, there's somebody playing defense? Somebody's just trying to actively make sure that you don't enjoy it. Because here's the deal. If Satan can convince us that John Grisham is a better author than God, he's won a huge battle. And for so many of us, we start believing this lie that, well, the Bible's not very interesting. Well, you're not going to get anything out of it. Oh, well, something else would be more helpful. Oh, just read this Christian book where this person explains the Bible. That would be so much better. And, you know, you can grab your Bible during church or read the scriptures they put in the program or up on the screen or whatever else. But reading it on my own, that'll never do. And that's like the running back who goes out and gets tackled on the first play of the game and then says, oh, I'll never make it to the end zone. Why am I not in the end zone? I'm not a good running back. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, no running back has ever done that. They stand up and they go, give me the ball again. And they start developing a strategy for beating the defense, a strategy for beating that team on that day with that attack, whatever it is. Sometimes, you know, and the strategy keeps going throughout the course of the game. You know, man, last week we were able to run around the right side. This week they're stronger here. Let's go around the left side or up the middle, or let's pass more, whatever. That strategy continues to evolve. But that's the thing, is there's always a strategy for beating the defense. And we need to have a strategy when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to studying it, when it comes to overcoming this wandering mind and the struggle of the wandering mind. And I believe that the number one strategy, and we'll explore other strategies in future episodes, but I want to dive deep into what I believe is the most important, the best strategy for beating the defense, and that is prayerful reading. And, you know, I know sometimes when people talk about prayer, it kind of seems like the good Christian thing to talk about. You know, we, you know, pray before and after we start, you know, any church service or Bible study or meals or whatever else. But here, that I'm not just talking about a little flippant God help me focus prayer, but specific pointed prayer, and prayer that happens at three specific times. And let's see if this isn't, in fact, an incredibly effective strategy. The first is to pray, to stop and pray before we ever open our Bible. Before you ever open your Bible, stop and pray. And pray these three prayers. Pray, God, thank you for your living word. Start with an attitude of thankfulness. Start recognizing the amazingness of this book. To start in awe, to start with a thankful heart, it is much easier to focus on something that we are thankful for and something that we are reminded of. You know, we take time to intentionally be reminded of how awesome, like we overuse that word awesome, but how awesome and awe-inspiring this book is, that we actually have a chance to sit in the presence of God and hear His word and hang out with Him, to put us in a mindset of thankfulness. So God, thank you for your living word is the first prayer before we ever start. The second is, God, what do you want to do today? Now, and that may sound funny, but if you listen to episode 2, you heard me unpack this idea of relational Bible study versus informational Bible study. The idea that Bible study is primarily a relational activity. So building our relationship with God, and we will explore in other episodes, there are really three relationships that happen as we enter into the Word. One is our relationship with God. One is the relationship we have with the people we're studying the Bible or reading the Bible with. And one is our relationship more broadly with our community and with our world, based on what we've either learned or come to understand or know or been challenged on or been inspired with or as we've been in the Word. So there are actually three components to this relational idea. In episode 2, I focused exclusively on the first one. But to this idea of sometimes I believe God wants us to read the Bible and not learn anything. Sometimes He just wants to hang out with you. Sometimes He wants you to just enjoy the read. And if you read the Bible and are just blown away by the stories, that's not time poorly spent. That is actually time very, very well spent. So God, what do you want to do today? And then third is, God, help me focus. To, you know, just like the running back who's going to go on the field and sometimes talk to the blockers, and he's not going to go out there without his teammates. And God happens to be the God Almighty, the Lord of Heaven's armies. So ask Him to send some blockers out for you. This prayer of, God, help me focus. Help me stay connected to you and your word as I enter into it today. So pray before you ever open your Bible. The second is to pause and pray while you're reading. When you feel your mind wandering, to actually enter in to that time, to pause and pray. And sometimes those distractions, it's like the running back who's getting tackled. You know, he gets up and he gets back in there. And And sometimes, you know, he comes over and he talks to the coach on the sidelines. And sometimes the coach actually pulls him out on purpose. And I think that that idea of remembering that sometimes, I actually believe that sometimes our distractions, what we would say are distractions or our mind wandering, is actually God trying to get our attention, that he wants us to slow down, that he wants us to talk with him, that we may have set aside 20 or 30 or 40 minutes to read the Bible. We may be 5 minutes in. And if we spend the rest of the time just sitting in the presence of God or praying or pouring out our heart or confessing or weeping or praising or singing, none of those are time poorly spent. And sometimes I think God actually knows that's what we need, and he's calling us into that. So as you pause to pray while you are reading, when you find yourself getting distracted, you know, remember these truths. Remember that the coach is on my side. Remember and say that even out loud. The coach is on my side. If you've read much of what I've written or you've been around me for very long, you know that one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Psalm 56:9. When David, in the midst of a psalm that isn't a psalm of massive praise, it's actually, he talks about the battle and he talks about the struggle and all that. But in the middle of it, in verse 9, he says these 8 words, "This I know, that God is for me." And I've tried to make that one of my life verses, is in my parenting, in my Bible study, in my relationship with Carrie, my wife, in the relationship with my friends, and to recognize that in all of it, God is for me. The coach is on my side. The coach, number 2, the coach knows how to beat the defense. In case we sometimes forget, God's been at this a long time. He knows everything about Satan's schemes and plans, and he knows how to thwart them. And so to have conversation with him in the middle of our struggle is a great idea. And again, kind of, I already alluded to this, but just the reminder that sometimes the coach just wants to chat. Sometimes, you know, in a football game, sometimes the coach pulls the running back out to talk to him about something, to give him a breather, to give him a pep talk when he's down, to remind him of something he's trying to focus on, to clarify, you know, what's going to happen next. And sometimes I think God does that. Sometimes I think he just wants to remind us of something. He wants us to slow down and ponder something that we actually read a paragraph or two paragraphs or a page ago. And sometimes I think he just wants to talk to us about something completely different than what we're actually reading that day. So the coach is on my side. The coach knows how to beat the defense, and the coach sometimes just wants to chat. Remembering that in the midst of the struggle when we find our mind wandering while we're reading. And then finally, pray after you close your Bible. That may sound like kind of a strange time to pray when the focus is on helping our mind not wander. But to pray that God, follow me on this. When we pray, here's the prayer, that God will bring his word to your mind throughout the day, that he would remind us of what we read that morning. What I find is the more that I think about something, the easier it is to focus the next time I'm actually doing it. Can you ever think of that project at school or that project at work or something that you were doing at a certain time of the day, or maybe it's a workout class or whatever it is, or your favorite class in high school or something that you thought about at different times throughout the day. And then when you got to it again, it's much easier to focus on something that you not only set aside time for, but that is woven throughout the regular time of your day. And I think sometimes with prayer, we set aside time to pray, as opposed to, as Paul encouraged the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, to pray continually, to have our conversation with God be a regular thing. So, you know, what would happen? Let me ask you that. What would happen if we prayed that God would talk to us throughout the day, we expected that he would, and then we engaged in those conversations when he did? I think that would be life-changing. And to close this piece, Yeah, there's a prayer that I actually wrote out in the in this chapter of 10 Tips for Liking the Bible that I just want to read to you. I'll also put it in the show notes if you want to give it a try or model something after this or something. But the prayer is simply this. At the end, you know, try this tomorrow when you read your Bible, before you get up and go on without your day, just stop and pray this. Lord Jesus, help me remember what I have read here this morning. Let's talk about this again throughout the day. Bring it to my mind as I have periods of downtime, when I'm driving my car, eating my lunch, or brushing my teeth. Remind me of your word as I face situations where your word would bring needed comfort, a helpful reminder, valuable instruction, or even necessary correction. Let your word saturate my thoughts and attitudes. Amen. Give that a try and see what happens. Pray before you ever open up your Bible. Pause to pray while you are reading and pray after you close your Bible before you just head on throughout your day. Now, before diving into the listener question that we have, I want to make it really clear. My mind still wanders. You know, it's not something that I've completely solved the problem. That would, you know, to carry this analogy that I started out with, that would be like the running back who comes up to the coach and says, "Hey, put me in, coach. I figured out a way to never get tackled." You know, that's ridiculous. In fact, you can't put that kid in because he's got a concussion. But for me, it's not that my mind never wanders, but I will say it doesn't wander as much. And when it does wander, it doesn't wander for as long. I've kind of noticed more quickly when my mind starts to wander. And I can regain that focus. I can, you know, say a prayer and dive back in. And to recognize that when it's happening. And even recognize my own distractions before I start and know that I need to spend more time before I really dive in. So, and maybe most importantly, when my mind does wander, I recognize it for what it is, and I don't let it defeat me or, you know, put me on the bench. I don't let it take me out of the game. I don't just wallow in it. And it used to just be so overly frustrating. It was almost debilitating. The why can't I focus? What is wrong with me? And, you know, and really that accusation, where does that sound like it comes from? I mean, I think there's a reason that Satan is referred to as the accuser of the brethren, because he accuses constantly and says, you know, this is of no value to you. I mean, the attack actually starts before you ever open up your Bible, right? With, I don't have time to do this and I won't get anything out of it. And I mean, those attacks start early, and anybody who has, and this, I promise this is my last sports analogy, but anybody who's played any sports will tell you that any time as a defensive player, any time that you can get the offense down on themselves, your job is done. You have the game won. And I think so often we don't even recognize that there's anybody playing defense, let alone develop a strategy for beating the defense. And so I pray that these ideas of praying before you open your Bible, pausing to pray while you're reading, and praying after you close your Bible will be one of, and be your primary strategy for beating the defense. And some of these tips as we look at will certainly be that as well. Okay. Well, now is time for a listener question. And we just got one for today with the time that we've got. And this one is from, I believe her name, I didn't catch her name totally, but I believe it's Brenda in Lakewood. So let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Brenda. I'm from Lakewood. I have a question about how do I decide what translation I should be looking for? I mean, sometimes I feel discouraged by the words in the text, and then I read a different translation, and it makes more sense that way. But how do I find the right text for the whole story? Thanks.
Thank you for that question. That is a question that I get asked at least once a month and have for a long time. And I've got to say that when I first started traveling and speaking and writing 17, 18 years ago, that it was a much simpler answer. Honestly, the first 5, maybe even 10 years that I was doing this, the answer really came down to you know, grab the NIV or grab, you know, the New International Version or grab the New American Standard. And both of those are great. And those were kind of the two primary translations that were pretty conversational and more easily readable. And there are certainly people who love the King James, and I certainly don't knock the King James. But for people who are looking for a contemporary translation, it used to be my answer was to pick the NIV or the NAS. Either one is good. And I was given an NIV study Bible for graduation from high school. And so I still have that. In fact, I'm looking at it right now and use that for the longest time. And but now I got to say the answer is getting a bit more complicated because there have been some very, very cool translations that have come out in the last 10 years. So I believe that the New King James, I think, is a really good translation. It has some of the classicness, if you will, of the King James while changing the these and thous and stuff to make it more readable. I think it's really, really good. The Contemporary English Version, the CEV, I think is a very good conversational translation. And even the Message, you know, Eugene Peterson's The Message. People ask me about the Message all the time. What do I think about the Message? Here's my thing on the Message. I believe the Message is a great translation for reading and not a great translation for studying. If you're looking for a study Bible, the Message is not it. The Message is a contemporary paraphrase / translation, if you will, that puts things in common language. And if you're just reading to get a flow of the story or reading for fun, what a friend of mine calls sport reading of the Bible, then I think the Message is great. If you're looking for a study Bible, the Message is not the translation. Now, having said all that, one of my new favorites, the Bible that I've been using that I think is the kind of the best combination for me for both of those purposes, for just general reading as well as studying, is the New Living Translation put out by Tyndale. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But it's not the Living Bible that was developed in the 70s. The Living Bible was essentially the Message in the 70s instead of the 90s. But the New Living Translation is an actual translation. And the language that is used is very readable, very conversational, but it's very, very accurate as well. And I think it's really good. So right now, all the books that I present are in the NIV. It's actually the NIV 84. There was a new translation of the NIV that came out in 2011. But the NIV is what I use for most of my translations, except for the Book of James. The Book of James is the first one that I've done in the New Living Translation, and I really, really like it. So I will most likely spend an entire episode on translations at some point and comparing some of the different ones and giving examples in the show notes. But I got that question, wanted to get it out there. So again, thank you, Brenda. I hope that was helpful. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the New Living Translation and see what you think. So if you would like your question answered, I want to make this as practical as possible. I found that the best way to make it practical is to answer your questions. And so there are 3 main ways that you can ask your question. The easiest is exactly what Brenda did, which is to call the podcast voicemail line at 425-522-3487. And leave a voicemail because I can just download that as an MVP. I mean, an MVP, MP3 and embed it right in as you heard. So that is the easiest way. And please, if you have multiple questions, that's fine, but just call back. So, cause it's just a lot easier from an editing standpoint if you just ask one question per voicemail. You can send an email to podcast@keithferrin.com. So podcast keithferrin.com, or you can, if you want to, if you've got a microphone on your computer that you want to leave a voicemail through your computer, or you're overseas and don't want to pay to call, you can go to speakpipe.com/keithferrin. And I would love to answer a question of yours in the future. So before we wrap it up, let me just let you know of an announcement and a prayer request. A couple days ago, my website went down. There were some wonky things that were happening. The sidebar dropped to the bottom and it looked like it disappeared unless you scrolled way, way down, and some different things. And in looking into it, I found out that the theme that I've been using, which is called the standard theme, is the people who developed that is a company called 8-Bit. And these guys are very cool guys, incredibly creative, have a lot of different things going on, and have just decided to each focus on different things. And so 8-Bit is closing shop, which means standard theme is not going to be supported anymore. So I am in the process of my web guy, Sasha, and I are rebuilding the site on a different theme that I'm super, super excited about. And it will be coming out, but please be in prayer for that. Anytime you change that and port content and all that, there are just a whole lot of things that could go not smoothly. So if you could pray in the next couple of weeks that this would go smoothly, and hopefully on the episode 7, I will be announcing that it is live and active. So and speaking of episode 7, the next episode will look at how a book of the Bible is like a movie and how important it is to watch the whole thing before we study the scenes. So if you've got any questions specifically about that, definitely get those in soon. And, or if you've got a question about anything else, certainly let me know that as well. But I hope you'll, join me for episode 7 as well. If these podcasts have been helpful, please help me spread the word. One easy way to do that, if you have an iTunes account or an iPhone and can go to find the podcast and either rate it or write a short 1 or 2 sentence review, I know that that makes a huge difference as far as how things show up in search results. And if you're on Facebook or Twitter, you can certainly write something there. Use the hashtag like the Bible, all one word. Or I've got some pre-done kind of tweets and Facebook posts. If you just, if you want to share the love, you can just go to keithferrin.com/love and click on the Twitter link or the Facebook link, and it'll automatically share that. So, and as a reminder, everything that we've talked about, all these links, phone numbers, links to Bob's book and Jubilee Service Day and all that is in the show notes at keithferrin.com/006, and the list of all the episodes at keithferrin.com/BiblePodcast. So we are about 37 minutes into this thing, and I think we will call it quits. I hope you have a wonderful week, and I look forward to hearing from you or interacting with you on the next episode of the Falling in Love with God's Word podcast. Have a great one. Bye-bye.